KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. About suspected drone sightings over an area of New Jersey, White House National Security official John Kirby.
The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels.
Kirby says New Jersey sightings appear to be of manned aircraft. Sam Morris, mayor of Mine Hill, New Jersey, says in Roxbury,
I have a credible reference over there, a resident over there who told me there's anywhere from 30 to 40 a night, and every night they're in the same place doing the same things. So I have to say, Mr. Kirby, that's a lot of nonsense.
Prosecutors are collecting evidence for a grand jury that they say ties the man arrested in Pennsylvania with the shooting death of the United Healthcare chief executive. Found alive in Syria, an American, Travis Timmerman, who in video interviews says he was thrown into jail for 7 months after crossing the border on a Christian pilgrimage. Rebels say that they freed him. This is ABC News. In the OKU mugs, you're not going to get away department.
Stanley is recalling more than 2.5 million travel mugs because they pose a, quote, burn hazard. The recall involves Stanley's switchback and trigger action travel mugs. The lid threads can shrink when exposed to heat, causing that lid to detach. Consumers should immediately stop using mugs and contact Stanley to receive a free replacement lid. Michelle France in ABC News.
If you ever wondered what a big deal it is to get that paint job on your heap, Toyota's announced it will build a new paint facility as part of a nearly billion-dollar investment at its factory complex in Georgetown, Kentucky. Toyota's announced months ago that the upgrades would set up an operation to build an all-new three-row electric SUV to be sold in the U.S. The company also says that the new paint shop will decrease carbon emissions by 30% and water usage by 1.5 million gallons per year. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy, and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks head to Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks found out last night they'll face the Atlanta Hawks in the semifinals Saturday of the NBA Cup in Las Vegas. Tip-off time 3:30. Atlanta beat the Knicks in New York 108-100 to qualify. College hoops, the Badgers on the road against the Butler Bulldogs in Indianapolis. Game time Saturday at 1:30. Last night in Green Bay, the Milwaukee Panthers beat the UW Green Bay Phoenix 88-67. The Phoenix now 2-9 under Doug Gottlieb. NFL, Packers defensive back Jaire Alexander back and expected to play after missing the past month with a knee injury. The Packers in Seattle Sunday night. Luke Musgrave returned to practice. Jordan Love on seeing the tight end finally doing some drills after ankle surgery in early October.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see Luke. He was out there in pads and whatnot doing some individual stuff today. So, you know, had a tough injury. Didn't know when he was going to be back. And it's awesome to have a guy like that back out there.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even though the parents have already been met several times, there is talk of a new Meet the Parents chapter. Deadline reports that actors Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, Ben Stiller, and Blythe Danner are in talks to appear in the new film. Most of the producer team is returning, but there is no one attached yet to direct. Details about the plot are being kept hush-hush. What on earth could this possibly be about? I'm guessing family-related discomfort. We are learning a lot about Jamie Foxx thanks to his new comedy special on Netflix. In addition to addressing his stroke a couple years ago, ago and the 20-day coma that followed, Fox used the platform to announce that he is done dating white women, adding humorously that he will no longer eat potato salad and raisins. Before you judge him, if you are, I'm done dating white women too, mostly because I'm married to a white woman who loves potato salad. I don't get it either, Jamie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, to low of 0 to 5 below. Mostly sunny, not as cold tomorrow, a high in the upper teens. Some rain possible for Saturday, maybe some snow mixed early, high upper 30s, and near 40 and cloudy Sunday. Right now it's 3.
The next new Wisco weekend is going to the dogs and the cats and all things animals. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr from Rescues to Why Pets Are Good For You. You won't want to miss it.
Saturday mornings at 11, Sundays at 8 on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me cut deeper.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kadigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Well, Haley, can you guess where I'm at? You know, like, I'm not busy enough, but I thought I'd take on something else. Wendy and I are here, and you can see Wendy in the screen here waving at people.
Yeah.
So, hey, where do you think we are?
I'm going to guess you're vending with Native Roots Trading Post at some type of art market, and I'm going to guess it's in Shakopee.
You're correct. And what's the address?
Well, let's see. We are at the Hokata Tea Winter Art Market in Shakopee, and that's 2300 Tawahi Circle in Shakopee, Minnesota.
Exactly. And we're excited here, and we're vending here, and it's been a great first day, and I know it's going to be really, really busy tomorrow and the next day. And so there's other things going on, but there's a couple things I want to do before this segment ends, Haley, and I want to talk about our wolves real quick and then go into Governor Evers.
Yeah, for sure. So Dr. Maureen Hackett, president and founder of Howling for Wolves, one of our great and longtime sponsors here on Native Roots Radio, recently reached out to me, and she wanted to let everyone know that Howling for Wolves will be at the Patagonia store in St. Paul on Grand Avenue this coming Saturday, December 14th, from 10:30 a.m. to 4 in the afternoon. Howling for Wolves will have wolf advocates there tabling and gathering names and addresses for postcard messages to the Minnesota governor and lieutenant governor to just send a message and ask them not to allow wolf hunting. They will also be giving away free swag and support for Howling for Wolves, and will be mailing all the postcards that you come and sign. And they use Visions Printing for their postcards, and we've actually had the honor to fill out some postcards with Howling for Wolves at the Wolf Day at the Minnesota State Capitol. And their postcards that they use are actually like photographers, still shots of wolves in the wild, which is really cool. But always like to point out that our Minnesota Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan comes from the Wolf Clan, mm-hmm. and Minnesota is the only state to not lose their natural wolf population. Yeah. So our wolves are like our relatives and clan members, and they're cleaners and protectors of our forests. And we know that when one member of the pack is killed, that the pack is likely to suffer in a lot of different ways.
Well, you know, it's fun too. I'm here, you know, amongst a lot of different nations here, and we talk about a lot of things. And one of the things that I always brought up is how we as natives thousands and thousands of years ago, watched the wolves and how we, you know, run our clans, you know, how important each wolf or each member is. And so we've learned from thousands and thousands of years ago. And it's always cool to remind everyone that our lieutenant governor is from the wolf clan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so join Howling for Wolves at the Patagonia store off Grand Avenue in St. Paul this Saturday from 10:30 to 4.
Hey, let's jump on now. We got a few more minutes here for our weekly report from Governor Tony Evers from the great state of Wisconsin. Let's take a listen.
Hey there, Native Roots Radio. Governor Tony Evers here with my weekly update. I declare 2024 as the year of the worker here in Wisconsin, not only to honor our state's incredible dedicated workforce, but to put an emphasis on bolstering our workforce, reducing barriers to work, and making smart investments in key sectors. And now that 2024 is coming to a close, I want to take a moment to look back on all we have accomplished together this year. We've continued to see historically low unemployment that's well below the national average, as well as record high employment for over half of the year. We created the Governor's Task Force on Healthcare Workforce to find solutions to the unique needs facing Wisconsin's healthcare workforce. We also launched a brand new teacher apprenticeship pilot program and welcomed the first 8 teacher apprentices. And we celebrated record high enrollment in our state's registered apprenticeship program for the 3rd year in a row. We also saw record high enrollment in our youth apprenticeship program with an all-time high of youth apprentices enrolled. Wisconsin was also designated as a U.S. regional tech hub, making our state the national leader in biohealth industries and bringing a projected more than 140,000 direct and indirect jobs. And finally, in just the past year alone, we have celebrated global brands like Lilly Medicine, Nestle Purina, Kikkoman, and Microsoft deciding to invest millions and even billions to grow their businesses and create jobs right here in Wisconsin. All of this is a BDF, a big deal, folks. But just because the year of the worker is coming to a close doesn't mean that we are going to slow down in 2025. We are taking the positive momentum of all the incredible work we accomplished during the year of the worker, and we are bringing it with us into the new year to make smart, strategic investments to support employers and working families and build the 21st century workforce and economy Wisconsinites deserve. Thank you. Back to you, Robert, and Native Roots Radio.
Wow. We applaud Governor Tony Evers. What a lot of great work. And it's always great to be reminded of what's happening in our neighbor, in our good neighbor here in Wisconsin with the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers. Hey, Haley, I just want to bring up one more quick thing is, again, Howling for Wolves is going to be in St. Paul on the Grand Avenue store, the Patagonia store. From 10:30 to 4 p.m. on Saturday the 14th. Really important stuff, and it sounds like people will be tabling, and it sounds really cool. Also, there's tomorrow at the Minnesota Women's Resource Center, they're hosting a winter market too, aren't they?
Yeah, MIWRC will be hosting their winter market tomorrow in the community room in Minneapolis from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And like Ruth Anna Buffalo said yesterday, they're going to have food vendors. And I know that she mentioned all of their artist vendors were full. So should be a wide variety of good stuff to get your holiday shopping done.
Yeah, definitely. And what else we got going here? We got like 3 more minutes here. I'm going to be here with Wendy. We're pinch hitting for our daughters, and we'll be manning the. You laugh. We'll be manning and peopling, I should say, the Native Roots Trading Post out here in Shakopee. So come out and say hi. We already have had a bunch of people come out and say hi, which is
that's awesome.
You said it is awesome.
Minnesota Senator Mary Kunish was out there.
She's there right now. She's talking to Wendy.
nice.
Yeah, and we have a present for her, but we didn't know she'd be here, so you know how that goes.
Yeah, she'll have to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, she's heading to D.C., I guess, Saturday, she was saying, so that's very cool. Yeah.
Hey, awesome.
I want to give a quick shout-out to Dennis Dunlap, and do you want to pop out that information again that we can get a hold of Dennis and his wife about those checks that they can pick up for him?
Yeah, so thanks for bringing that up. It is a timely manner. I want to shout out Dennis and Donna Dunlap, a native blend out of Michigan. They are helping Lac-Couturier tribal members this season who live off the reservation and are not able to get their holiday tribal checks. So if you are off reservation and you don't think you can get that, Dennis and Donna can definitely help you out. You can get their contact information if you go to Native Blend. Search that in Google and you should find their contact information there. They'll help you apply for that holiday check for LCO tribal members.
And they're doing that with no charge to their relatives and their families, but also check out Native Blend.
Yeah, they have their own little native-owned business, and they sell their handmade goods like soaps and stuff, and it's really great to support native-owned businesses this holiday season.
Right on. Come out and check out Native Roots Trading Post here in Shakopee. We'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Yeah, stay with us. This is Native Roots Radio.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Programming on Native Roots Radio is supported in part by MinSure. Looking for health insurance but not sure where to start? MinSure has you covered. You can find discounts, compare private health plans, and see if you qualify for free or low-cost insurance. Plus, get help from an expert so you save on the coverage you need. Enroll online by December 18th for coverage starting January 1st. Get started today at MinSure.org. That's MNSure.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And Robert, I left you with a kind of a cliffhanger statement. Can you help me remember? I think you were still a city council member during that heyday.
So the question was about sort of these political shifts, right?
And yeah.
So I first got elected in 2001, and we faced a hostile federal administration, a hostile state administration. It was the Pawlenty, Governor Pawlenty years, mm-hmm. in these administrations that were hostile to cities, right? They wanted cities to fail. They saw cities as these bastions of democratic voters. And so they continued to turn off the tap of any kind of state and federal support to cities. And they really broke the covenant of local, state, and federal government support. And it was hard. In all 12 years that I served on the Minneapolis City Council were budget-cutting years. And often that meant multiple cuts throughout the year as waves of funding were cut, and it was harsh. And we had to tighten our belt, and we had to be very serious about what we could and couldn't do. And we had to be really collaborative with our communities and explaining what was going on and seeking their input and guidance. And one of the ironies is, finally, after 12 years of being on the city council, our fiscal responsibility began to pay off. And the very next year would have been a year where we actually had money to spend. And I never got to experience that. But, I mean, I feel like government works best when there's an acknowledgement. Local government, state government, federal government all have their roles. And if any of them abdicate that, it really creates disruption. So I think those of us that live in big cities, I live here in Minneapolis, you know, need to be prepared for something like that. How do we, in a collaborative, community-based way, tighten our belts the way we're going to need to?
Wow, excellent point. I remember roughly 2006, when when all the property was going crazy. I mean, I'd have to cut my grass and my house was worth $50,000 more. Right. And then we paid for it in 2008.
Right. So I lived in an area of Minneapolis that's called the Phillips area. And it was a blighted area that had rapid redevelopment. And then right around the time you're talking about, Robert, it wasn't uncommon. And I was a little landlord, you know, for properties in our neighborhood to appreciate literally 500%, right? Yeah. And then when we hit the wall, they depreciated really rapidly, and that was painful on the community. And so, you know, there are ways to smooth that out. Houses went foreclosed like crazy. I'm sure you remember the foreclosure crisis of the mid-2000s, and the impact on lower wealth people, right? Phillips neighborhood, Phillips community is very diverse. There's no majority demographic there. It tends to be lower wealth. And so people were sort of enjoying the increase of their major asset, their homes. And then all of a sudden they had nothing but debt, right? And so it took its toll.
Yeah, it really did. So I guess for me, bringing that up, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but we made it through, and there's some things that had to change, especially the way people were going after people with these loans. That was terrible, and people losing their houses and being upside down.
Right. There's all this predatory lending, right? And so I represented the big headquarters of Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. And Wells Fargo and several of their subsidiaries were some of the worst actors in predatory lending. And so they had to be held accountable, but they overlent with really toxic lending products and tools to people of color, to lower wealth people. And so it just destroyed families, families that were trying to build generational wealth. It just sucked all that out.
Yeah, I remember that. But we made it through. But, you know, it was very costly because of the predatorial lending that happened to our friends. And like Nina says here, legal loan sharking. Yeah. Like credit cards.
That's what it was. And as, you know, the representative of the Wells Fargo Home Mortgage campus here, I had to engage with them, you know, and that made me feel a certain way, and trying to take care of the people that I represent. And so now that we're going to enter into who knows what for the next four years, for me, it's looking for the opportunities, right? I mean, we're so fortunate to live in Minnesota, a blue state, to live in Minneapolis, a progressive city. I live in Minneapolis, a progressive city. And so there's, you know, in times of crisis, there's always these opportunities. And so how do we find those? Like I said, I think the native folks, both urban and tribal or reservation based, we're gonna find those. We're gonna find ways to continue to prosper, to grow, but I suspect it isn't gonna be easy.
I always like to say this, and you kind of just touched on it, is that crisis is a Chinese word for dangerous win and opportunity. So every crisis is a dangerous opportunity, like you just said.
Right. And so, you know, at our level at NACD and within the urban Indian community here, we're pretty active already trying to figure out how we're creating new resource pipelines or expanding existing ones, and we're already having some successes. And so, mm-hmm. So I think, again, being fortunate to live in a blue state, I love reading about all of the sorts of resistance measures that blue states are putting in place to protect us through the next few years. And it's angering Trump, President-elect Trump, and good. And we'll, like you keep saying, and I love it, we'll get through.
Hey, one of the things that I'd like you to help us clarify is our attorney general now, this is his second rodeo with these guys, and I know he made a statement about being ready to go. Is that kind of what you were alluding to too?
Yeah, I am, and I'm trying to learn more. I mean, the different blue states are doing kind of different things, but they are working in collaboration as well. But right, it's exactly that, and I think it's tremendously sad that as a state we have to figure out how to resist our federal government and the president's administration, but we do. And I think our Attorney General Keith Ellison is expert at this. He was a congressman for a while, and so I think he gets the federal landscape here. And we're, in some ways, I feel like we're kind of on our own, right? We're going to need to figure out how to go forward.
It was kind of put to me, or I read somewhere that, you know, the first Trump presidency, that a lot of the attorney generals in the blue states really got together and brainstormed and protect a lot of things in the blue states that were happening. And that really kind of perked me up, excited me. And then I said, well, one more day and then we'll go on the radio.
Right. No, I agree. And, you know, we have elections in 2 years, right? And so... Right. Things could happen at the congressional level, but especially at the Senate. And a lot of the data coming out of the presidential race shows that there was a top of the ticket impact, right? People kind of fell off voting because of the top of the ticket, and there's analysis that shows in 2 years, it's very likely that the Senate will flip, and that'll be a good thing. And who knows what with the House. These majorities are so razor thin. And so, you know, people are talking about Trump's big mandate, but really it came down to fewer than 300,000 votes in a couple of states that gave him the presidency. So there really isn't a popular mandate for this president, and that makes it difficult to govern.
Well, and I agree, and I don't know, help me with the math here. If only 50% of the country votes, and he got, so really it's a quarter of the country that's mandating this.
You're exactly right. I wouldn't even use the word mandate. It's a quarter of the country that elected him.
Right.
And so that's not an overwhelming majority.
No, not at all. Well, I'd like to talk next segment too, a little bit, and get a little deeper in what we can do as citizens. And I know you're talking to your people at Native American Community Development Institute, but also, you know, all the other groups you're in. What can we do as citizens out there to really protect and be awake and also resist? So I'd love to talk about that next segment, Robert.
I look forward to it, and maybe even touch on some of the good news, right? There was a lot of good news that came out of these elections. A whole cadre of elected Native people to office, the first trans member of Congress, and there's some good things there.
Well, let's do that, and then if we run out of time, we run out of time. Let's start with that. Ho-wah. All right, right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm here with Haley and Robert Lilligren. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. About suspected drone sightings over an area of New Jersey, White House National Security Official John Kirby.
The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels.
Kirby says New Jersey sightings appear to be of manned aircraft. Sam Morris, mayor of Mine Hill, New Jersey, says in Roxbury,
I have a credible reference over there, a resident over there who told me there's anywhere from 30 to 40 a night, and every night they're in the same place doing the same things. So I have to say, Mr. Kirby, that's a lot of nonsense.
Prosecutors are collecting evidence for a grand jury that they say ties the man arrested in Pennsylvania with the shooting death of the United Healthcare chief executive. Found alive in Syria, an American, Travis Timmerman, who in video interviews says he was thrown into jail for 7 months after crossing the border on a Christian pilgrimage. Rebels say that they freed him. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks head to Vegas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks found out last night they'll face the Atlanta Hawks in the semifinals Saturday of the NBA Cup in Las Vegas. Tip-off time 3:30. Atlanta beat the Knicks in New York 108-100 to qualify. College hoops, the Badgers on the road against the Butler Bulldogs in Indianapolis. Game time Saturday at 1:30. Last night in Green Bay, the Milwaukee Panthers beat the UW Green Bay Phoenix 88-67. The Phoenix now 2-9 under Doug Gottlieb. NFL, Packers defensive back Jair Alexander back and expected to play after missing the past month with a knee injury. The Packers in Seattle Sunday night. Luke Musgrave returned to practice. Jordan Love on seeing the tight end finally doing some drills after ankle surgery in early October.
Yeah, it's been awesome to see Luke. He was out there in pads and whatnot doing some individual stuff today. So, you know, had a tough injury. Didn't know when he was going to be back. And it's awesome to have a guy like that back out there.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Variety reports that there will be a new version of the film American Psycho. Good Lord. Even though this doesn't need to happen on any level, a new interpretation of the novel of the same name will star Austin Butler as Patrick Bateman. The red-hot Luca Guadagnino will direct the film. Guadagnino's two most recent efforts are Queer, starring Daniel Craig, and Challengers, starring Zendaya. Both films were nominated for Golden Globes. And things a really talented and incredibly famous guy says that nobody cares about news. The great Elton John says making marijuana legal in Canada and the U.S. is one of the greatest mistakes of all time. Exaggerate much? John was recently named Time Magazine's Icon of the Year and told Time Magazine that as a recovering addict, he believes marijuana is addictive. I'm not saying when he wrote Tiny Dancer, Rocket Man, or Benny and the Jets that he was high, but he might have been high. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight to low of 0 to 5 below. Mostly sunny, not as cold tomorrow, a high in the upper teens. Some rain possible for Saturday, maybe some snow mixed early, high upper 30s, and near 40 and cloudy Sunday. Right now it's 3.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Just PS here. Dom's out for a few days, so we've got friends filling in. Next time, join Civic Media's sports director, Jimmy Cuska, for, you guessed it, sports talk and local news.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I'm glad you brought that up in the end of the last segment, because there are things to be really thankful for, Robert. And I'm sorry that I was a Debbie Downer there, but
it's hard not to be.
Let's talk about a few of those that you rattled off for sure.
Cool. Well, I mean, one thing is, and I don't have the number of how many succeeded, but there were, I'm sure, a record number of Native people on the ballot, something like 178 across the country.
Wow.
And that's just huge, right? And a number of them were elected, of course, and you know, here in our local community and local state, we know a lot of those people, right? Native County Commissioner in Ramsey County, which is the county that St. Paul's in. That's huge. Kelly Miller, she's the first, right? She's a door opener, a glass ceiling crasher. And across our state, as we know, many Native candidates were elected. And so Canada embraced that and lift that up. And, you know, this experiment in self-governance, this democracy, American democracy, is, you know, 200 and whatever, 50 years old, and 4 years is a fairly small percentage of that time. And so we'll see, you know, what's coming out of this. And I suspect that in the midterm elections, in the Senate elections in 2026, I suspect we're going to see quite a shift.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, wow, that's great. Kelly, that's something that was kind of on our radar. I'm glad she won, because it was really close.
It was close. Yeah. Right. And
that's excellent.
Yeah, it's very good. And then mostly, you know, I brought up Sarah McBride is her name, the first transgender member of Congress, which I think is huge. And then, of course, the Republicans in Congress suddenly are all about bathrooms, right? What bathroom is she going to use in Congress? And I was like, really? You really think this is the most important thing facing U.S. Congress? And so that, it's going to be icky. I give her a lot of credit for being willing to do that. She's been very clear, Congressperson-elect McBride, in that that's what she doesn't want to talk about. She doesn't want to talk about bathrooms. She wants to get to resolving issues that impact her constituents. And I give her a ton of credit. And you got to face it. It's going to be tough. And I remember back in my Minneapolis City Council days, you know, my first hire of my staff in my office was a transgender woman who is now has been president of the Minneapolis City Council. She's a Minneapolis City Council member, Andrea Jenkins. And one of her big concerns was about what bathrooms she was going to be able to use. And I said, Andrea, that's not my, you know, you'll use the bathrooms you want while you're in City Hall. But for me, a cisgender man, it's not something that I have to think about. Right. And so I really embrace, lift up, and respect our transgender brothers and sisters, transgender relatives, especially now. Today's the day after Transgender Day of Remembrance, right?
Right.
Tiny fraction of the country that's much more likely to experience violence, to be murdered. You know, so how do we embrace and lift up and support our trans relatives?
Absolutely. Wow. Well said. And thanks for that reminder, too. And, you know, also the reminder that we had Heather Keeler and also up in Duluth,
Leish Kozlowski.
Yeah. Thank you, Haley. Leish Kozlowski. She won, too. And so we're keeping our natives here in Minnesota rocking and rolling.
Yeah. It would have been great to see Governor Peggy Flanagan, our whiter sister. Not yet. Right. Well, we'll have to wait a little longer for that. But I think she just positioned herself beautifully while our Governor Tim Walz was out on the national campaign trail. I was so impressed. She was like everywhere. Right? Yeah. Really building those relationships that she'll need if and when she runs for governor here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I'd like to see, well, and I don't have a say in it, but I'd like to see her as a senator, you know.
Agreed. She should be a great senator.
Yeah. Well, whatever she chooses, she's dynamic and she's ours, and we really appreciate her. And like you said, she was everywhere, and she's everywhere anyways, but it was really noticeable because she took over a lot of the governor's responsibilities.
Right. I remember working on her first campaign back in 2004 for the Minneapolis City Council, and that's when I got to know her. And then, you know, she had reached out to me, and I was serving on the city council then, and she, I remember thinking when I met her, I'm like, wow, she is so impressive. I thought, dang, she could be governor someday, you know? And then I thought, well, hell, she could be president someday, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll see a president, Peggy Flanagan, in our lifetimes. And I think she would just be great. She's so authentic and so community focused, right?
Well, you never know, because things have really moved quickly. We always joke when we were in high school and we were able to practice our own religion. And things have sped up. And I really believe, too, a lot of it had to do with Standing Rock and people really getting engaged with resisting.
I agree. And I think I've shared this with you before, you know, where there are these systems change strategies that are based on an effort called Reclaiming Native Truth. And it was several years of research and then development of strategies in certain areas, you know, like politics and policy, arts and culture, TV or media and art. And it's been very deliberate, right, to embrace these strategies. But one of the things the early research showed us was that about half of people in America didn't know that Native American people still existed today. They were relegated to history. And at the time, if you Googled, you know, American Indian or Native American images, something like the first 100 images that came up were pre-1920, 1915. And that just reinforced this idea that we were from the past, we were contemporary, you know, we weren't relevant in contemporary America. And so we've been able to dispel that, right? We're a growing segment of the population. We're obviously contemporary and very relevant. And it's people like Peggy Flanagan, like Deb Holland, like Charisse Davids that really flipped that. And so now when you Google American Indian images, that's who you see. Secretary Deb Holland, Congresswoman Charisse Davids, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. They have really flipped the narrative, and I, for one, am grateful.
Right, and what I was getting at, too, is that we're really lucky at our age to see this, and there's more coming.
Yep, I think we've made more progress more quickly than I ever thought we would, and, you know, being in the policymaking realm still, today, I have really had to be deliberate about recalibrating my perspective and my expectations. And you know, for years, it's been banging my head against this wall, hoping for movement. And all of a sudden, the wall has moved a little. Right. And so I need to make sure that I'm embracing that movement and change. So I'm not always living in the same old fight, right? We'll have plenty of fights, but okay, what's the next fight? You know, we've done this, and I especially see young people, we've talked about this before, young cultural carriers and leadership emerging that are so solid in their identities and things. And so how do we support them? But to embrace, like you just said, you know, embrace success, embrace the change. There is good change happening and on the horizon for Native people. And so let's not always live in the past, but let's step into the future, the current, the what's happening now and the future.
I really like what you said a few weeks ago, and it kind of goes in line what you're saying here, is that there's been a switch with a lot of work on our Native community about not only getting involved, but getting involved in the process, which, you know, wasn't the case maybe, you know, 12 years ago or 10 years ago.
No, you're exactly right. I just met this morning at the Minneapolis American Indian Center Gatherings Cafe, a wonderful place, with a high level Minneapolis city official working to encourage community development, economic development in BIPOC communities, you know, and I lifted this up for this kind of this change. We're in a different day, and you mentioned Standing Rock. I think that was pivotal in a number of other current kind of developments, and really trying to encourage her to understand that, you know, we're a complicated community, but we are unified in a lot of our approaches, and especially, you know, here we are unified. We have this incredible asset of unified collaborative Native leadership in the urban community here, and that has been hard fought, right, and hard won. It didn't just happen. I mean, a bunch of people sitting around tables being willing to give up some of their power or their authority for the good of the whole, right, and the good of the community. And I just love being able to be part of that whole evolution. I mean, this has been 20 years of work about how to be collaborative and maybe give up some of our power to benefit the community. And I feel like we do that really well here.
Yeah, we do. And from being kind of looking at it from the other perspective of tribal government, I think people like yourself and Dr. Stately and now Ruth Buffalo and all the leaders aren't attached to tribes, but they're more into the people and the community. And it really shows.
Well, we have our tribes, right? I mean, I have my nation, my home nation, and I'm a third generation Minneapolis urban Indian. So mm-hmm. trying to figure out how to balance those identities and leverage them. And then today I was at the Minneapolis American Indian Center for quite a while for a number of meetings, and at the Indian Center, our Minneapolis American Indian, the State Council was meeting, MIAC, at the Indian Center. And I just thought, so I stopped in a while, so, you know, shook some hands, went, talked to some people. My tribal chair was there, which was lovely to connect with them. And to me, that was so important that, you know, MIAC, Minneapolis Indian Affairs Council, or Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, mm-hmm. was here in Minneapolis, you know, engaging with and acknowledging the urban community. And that just felt really good.
Wow. I wish I would have known that. I would have stopped by and rattled some cages. No, said hi to some people. That's cool. Hey, Robert, it's been really great. I haven't talked to you in a while, and this has been really great catching up. And I appreciate you and all you do for the community. So thanks mm-hmm. for stopping
Thank
by.
Thank you. Miigwech.
Right on. Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. We'll be right back with Wendy Pilot. This is Native Roots Radio.
It's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay to struggle. And it's okay to ask for help. It's important that we support one another and work together to end the stigma so that we can start to tell a different story about mental health and well-being in our community. If you're looking for support for yourself or want to find resources for a loved one, visit makeitokay.org to get started. That's makeitokay.org.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
Getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333, again 612-373-3333, are able to select language options at the start of the call. To access information in Spanish, select Option 2. For more information about other transit information tools, visit metrotransit.org/Spanish. That's metrotransit.org/Spanish.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, it's Wendy. I want to, Wendy the baby whisperer here. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, and great to see you, and thanks for coming on. I just want to introduce you as my awesome, beautiful wife, and you've been an animal advocate for many, many years, and I've learned so much from all your segments, and you're a founder of Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. I feel like I'm a little rusty. I haven't been on the air in quite some time. And I'm trying to remember when the last time was, but I did pop on because I wanted to hear. I like hearing what Robert Lilligren has to say. And I heard you saying, I was in the other room and I heard Robert saying, Robert, remind us of, you know, what we could look forward to for the next 4 years, right? Yeah. We have like this next 4 years to get through. So mm-hmm. I popped my headphones on and I do feel a little bit better now.
Yeah.
Thinking about what Robert had to say. So, because it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're going to have a lot of stuff that, we're going to need to work on. And also, as a humane policy volunteer leader, I spend a lot of time at the Capitol, and I try to educate and try to help people who are representing us understand what ordinances we could use in the area in St. Paul and in the state of Minnesota to help animals. So I'm glad that we still have most of our, right? Everybody we have is still, like our city council member. We have Sarah Jost, who's awesome. Shout out to Sarah. She's great. We still have Dave Pinto, who's our House representative.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. We have Aaron Murphy, who is our senator.
Right. State senator.
And who am I forgetting? I can't remember. Who else do we have? Oh, we have like Betty McCollum.
She's
still our senator. Mm-hmm. Amy Klobuchar, although sometimes she doesn't help us with some of our animal needs. Mm. But, you know, it's important to keep our local, people who will help animals.
Definitely.
Vote for humane ordinances and laws for our animals, but at the Pilot House here in St. Paul, we are gearing up for the winter. Mm-hmm. And we have water bowls out in the backyard that plug in so that we could keep the water unfrozen.
That's in case I get kicked out of the house too, I can drink some water in the backyard.
It's funny though, you know, I haven't plugged them in yet because it's been, you know, in the 40s during the day. So, whatever. But I did see a crow out there lifting off the top layer of ice on one of the, in the bird bath. So
they're
he could
so
get
smart.
The water in there. Yeah. And I was like, wow. But I go out there every day and I just put fresh water in for them. And I just think it's important if people, especially when it's going to be getting really, really cold, to just help our wildlife. We live really close to St. Kate's is it a college or a university? I can't remember. University. Thank you, Haley. St. Kate's University. They have a beautiful campus, and they have a big pond there where ducks live. And the ducks.
It's a natural spring, too.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, at like 4:30, almost like clockwork, we can say, the ducks come from St. Kate's. Which is, you know, I don't know, how far is it? St. Kate's?
Three blocks, maybe.
So they fly overhead and then they land in our backyard because I always have goodies for them. So, and just feeding, you know, putting the seeds in the bird feeder. I just think it's important that, you know, the winter months are hard and we should just be able to help our wildlife.
So yeah, definitely.
In tune to doing that. But somebody was asking me, I can't remember who it was. It was just recently. How do you know it's a crow and not a raven? You know?
I don't think ravens live in the state. I don't know.
Well, ravens look a lot different.
Yeah.
So ravens like really have a very broad kind of hooked beak.
Mm.
And a crow is kind of a little bit straighter. But a crow, they travel in groups.
Yeah.
Their habitat is usually urban, right? Their lifespan is 8 years.
Oh.
I know. I thought they lived longer. The sound that they make is caw, caw.
Crow, crow.
C-A-W, C-A-W. They have this is one of the differences. They have a fan-shaped tail.
Oh.
Yes, and a smaller, flatter bill. And they're extremely intelligent. We know that.
Well, you had talked years ago about the McDonald's bag.
Yeah, they did a study on, I don't remember if it was crows or ravens, but they had a brown paper bag, and the birds would know to go to the bag that had the golden arches on them because the birds would most likely find a little treat in there.
A little French fry.
Yeah. Wow. And they would leave the regular brown paper bag with no markings on it alone, and they would always go to pick up the golden arches bag. Isn't that funny?
It's also interesting when we look at our crows that they are picky on which peanuts to take. They like go through them like this one's bigger. They shake it, and then all of a sudden then they leave with like three in their mouth, and I go, where are they going? To the neighbors to drop off some peanut shells.
So, yeah, I think that they're looking for the easiest one that they could crack open, you know. But that's a funny story, Robert. So we were at our neighbor's house, like two houses down.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, who the heck is feeding these squirrels? I have peanut shells all over my yard. So we blamed it on another neighbor.
Yeah.
It was just kind of a funny thing.
Oh, Tom.
We were like, oops.
Tom's feeding them.
Oops. Yeah, Tom. He must be feeding them.
We go, we got to get going.
We got to go. Okay. But here's a raven. So here's the difference. So a raven travels in pairs instead of a group. So a crow will go in a group. A raven only goes in pairs. And a raven, their habitat is the wild. Where a crow is an urban bird.
Okay.
And hear this, the raven has a 30-year lifespan.
Wow.
They make a different sound too. Should I embarrass myself?
Yeah, we should do a poem about a raven too.
It's gronk, gronk. G-R-O-N-K. Gronk,
say
gronk.
Say it with a little more feeling.
Gronk, gronk. Instead of caw, caw. See, now you know the difference.
Maybe we can open up with one of the segments with that, too.
They have a wedge.
In Howling for Wolves.
Exactly. We should do that. We have a wedged-shaped tail instead of a fan-shaped tail. Their bill is bigger and curved, and they're also extremely intelligent. So, I love them. They're really smart. There's a little story about the crows bringing little trinkets to a girl who fed them peanuts. They would find little...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulationary to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hi, I'm Michael Friedman, CEO of Simple Life Hospitality. Let us take the hassle out of vacation rental property management. We'll maximize your earnings and handle every detail from cleaning to maintenance and repairs. For guests, enjoy a stay that feels like home with hand-selected properties, personal touches like local recommendations, and extras like concierge service that will make your trip unforgettable. Whether you're a homeowner or a traveler, experience the Simple Life. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Nighttime drone sightings in New Jersey are not foreign spies or threats, says a joint statement from Homeland Security and the FBI to a national security official saying people are sometimes seeing manned flights. This from the mayor of Mine Hill, New Jersey, Sam Morris.
There's one drone sitting still, and it's pretty bright, and the others are going back north and south in an exact pattern. And you can tell that they have GPS points programmed into them because they don't deviate. They go back and forth and back and forth over the same thing.
President-elect tells Time magazine he doesn't think his presidency will be a failure if prices don't come down rapidly, as he promised. Mr. Trump adding, it's hard to bring things down once they're up, but he says he thinks they'll drop. Prosecutors are collecting evidence for a grand jury that they say ties the man arrested in Pennsylvania with the shooting death of the United Healthcare executive. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with W.